Well, guys, here we are again. We've been gone for quite a while.
We have.
We apologize to our vast listening audience for our absence, but we've been retooling, so to speak. We've just enjoyed the Christmas holidays, the New Year holidays, I think the Thanksgiving holidays.
It's been a while
since even came before that, and we haven't broadcasted since. So
we have been on hiatus.
That's right. And if you don't recognize the voice, that's my alliterative brother, Kenny Billings.
Alliterative brother.
Alliterative brother. You're fond of alliterations.
I like alliterations.
And the guy with the kind of the congested voice.
Do you like long alliterations? Do you like do you like love long alliterations?
Yes, Pastor Tim.
Okay. Oh, and not to be left out, what you were saying?
Sniffles.
No, yeah, the cedar fever has taken hold of me, and so I'm a little bit congested. But I'll do all right.
Okay.
I'll be all right.
You sound like you're in the bottom of a 55-gallon drum.
Well, should I get a little closer to the mic? Here we go.
No, you're good. You're good. It's the nasal complications.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
We'll just call him Sniffles from now on.
Just call him Sniffles.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that.
Oh, not on air. No. You know, we do realize this podcast thing on Sermon Audio is a lot more free than
on
the radio.
I'll try to behave.
Yeah, so try. Behave yourself.
All right.
Anyway, we've been talking about J.C. Ryle's classic work, Holiness.
Yes.
And you know what, guys? We've just not been able to plumb the depths of the holiness of God. So yeah. I would like to kind of put that on the back burner right now. I want to talk about some things that...
are on your heart.
That are on my mind. Not necessarily on my heart, but on my mind.
Well, what is the distance between your mind and your heart?
About 18 inches.
Okay. Just wanted to...
Unless you're Peter Marshall, who was the once Senate chaplain, who said that that's the farthest distance ever traveled. I think he was speaking in a philosophical / metaphorical sense. I don't think he was talking about... he wasn't being literal.
So what are some of those things that are on your mind?
I'm glad you asked. I've been reading some things in the news, and I think there are a lot of things that we read in the news, a lot of things about current events, a lot of things that are germane to Christians and how they live their lives that people just don't understand how to reconcile those. We say that we have a Christian worldview,
right?
And that worldview should act as a filter. Every news item we hear, every political thing that we hear about, everything that goes on in this world, we ought to be able to pass it through that filter or that grid so that we can make sense of it from a biblical / Christian perspective. And this not only pertains to things that are in the Christian realm, in the church, this can be anything. We need to pass everything through that grid, through that filter.
Well, yeah, there are a lot of Christians who, they look at some things as Christians.
Right.
You know, they're religious, quote-unquote, stuff.
Exactly.
But then they look at other things like their politics or their entertainment or their just work or their lives through their American eyes or through their work capitalistic eyes, but we have to be a Christian all the time.
You know, I'm glad you said that because you set me up perfectly for something I wanted to say. And I've long since memorized a quote by R.C. Sproul in his book, In the Face of God, I believe is the name of the book, or In His Presence, something of that nature.
That's who?
R.C. Sproul.
Sproul.
Yeah, he talks about the importance of living lives coram Deo, or in the face of God. And in that particular book, he said something that really struck me, and that's why I memorized it. He said, we cannot compartmentalize our lives between the sacred and the secular. He said, either all of life is religious, or none of life is religious. And that's kind of what got me to thinking, you know, about how to proceed with this new retooled Truth Matters. I want to talk about things that are going on in the world and how we compartmentalize those in the proper area.
Okay.
So
let's get on with it.
Let's get on with it.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, most recently, we were talking about this off air.
Right.
There are a lot of people who are aware of Harold Camping. Huh. You know, Harold Camping is the guy who runs the family radio outfit. Harold Camping has denied the validity of churches. He does not think that churches should meet in buildings. He thinks that they should all follow his teachings and so on and so forth. But what I found most interesting is there's this website called WeCanKnow.com.
Okay.
And at the top of this website is the heading, Judgment Day, May 21st, 2011. And then he uses and this is probably the most egregious thing in my mind, he uses Acts 17:31 as his proof text for that heading. He hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world. Harold Camping seems to know what that day is.
Even if it were possible to know,
right?
What does he base, why does he choose May, does he mention there why he chooses May 21st, 2011? Or, yeah. Or does he have any reason for that?
Well, first of all, we need to understand that Harold Camping has been, whoop, here it comes, oh, bless you. We need to understand that Harold Camping has made these predictions in times past, and he's been wrong every time. This particular time, he does give some background info on how he arrived at that decision. There's an article on here on this website you can read if you want to. I don't really recommend that anybody go to this website unless you're of strong Christian constitution, because, you know, I don't want you led astray either.
So it's got a Christian rating of rated R or PG-13.
Yes. Gotcha. Yes. And that PG-13 is pastoral guidance. Unless you've been a Christian for 13 years or more.
Very good.
You probably shouldn't be.
That's the first time you've used that one? I've never heard that before.
Right off the top of
my
head.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. Pastoral guidance. You must have been a Christian 13 years or more.
Very good.
So, I thought you'd like that.
Something about Harold Camping. I believe he's out on the West Coast, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And he's what is labeled as an extreme typologist. Everything in the scripture he relates to types, and he tries to get the figurative interpretation of everything. It's, people need to understand that, because that's how he comes to many of his conclusions, which have probably aided and abetted him in this prediction of the rapture or whatever.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know much about the man, but the problem with extreme typologists is that you have the rule of arbitrary,
right?
And pretty much, then based on the mood of the day and the mood of your feelings, you can make anything, almost make anything, represent almost anything. And
that was profound.
Well,
that's true, though. You, yeah.
And the hermeneutics then become the key to the main problem, beyond whatever other errors he has. It's a hermeneutical problem, right? An interpretation problem.
Right.
And
do you have a bio on him? Are you looking at any bio that you could show folks?
I'm not really looking at a bio, but if you guys will keep talking, I think I think I can probably get to that.
So how are you doing over there, Dad? How's your cold?
Cedar fever's got me stuffed up pretty good here.
Just killing time while he's going to Wikipedia.
I'm Googling Harold Camping. You can tell how prepared we were for this show. We actually came in with the idea that we would be talking again about J.C. Ryle's book, but I thought this would be a little more fun, a little more enlightening for our audience.
Right. Enlightening for me. I don't know much about Harold Camping. I just heard camping. Like going camping over the weekend.
It's like being out there.
Family radio is out there on the West Coast, FM radio.
Yeah. He's got a relatively short biography here on Wikipedia. Let me read this to you, and we'll talk about this. Harold Camping, born July 19th, 1921.
Wow.
Well, that's good news.
That's my
birthday. He's not going to be around very much longer to deceive us.
That's my birthday.
According to the law of averages, you know. Why are you laughing?
That's kind of harsh.
Pretty profound observation.
Well, I'm
that's
afraid.
That's 90.
I'm very afraid now, because July 19th is my birthday.
You guys share the same birthday? Is that July 19th? Is that what
According to Harold Camping, you'll never see your next birthday.
Okay, that's right.
My birthday's May 31st. I won't even get to see that either.
See?
So he's almost 89 years old.
There are students that won't be able to graduate because of...
We're doomed.
Anyway.
Well, I'm a high school teacher, then I'll just
stop
now.
You'll be jobless. Anyway.
Well, I'll be jobless.
Anyway.
Yes, go on.
He's a Christian broadcaster and president of Family Stations Incorporated, a California-based religious broadcasting network, including more than 150 outlets in the United States, as well as a website.
That's more than we have.
I know. He's best known for a prophecy of the second coming of Jesus Christ in 1994. And for his current prediction.
Just to update our audience, it is 2011 now.
Right now.
So that one was...
That was
incorrect.
Wrong.
No, well, obviously.
Well, I'm just making sure we're all on the same page.
Okay. And for his current prediction of the second coming in May 2011.
Yes.
Camping teaches that a biblical calendar has been hidden, according to Daniel 12:9, Revelation 22:10, detailing the imminent end of the world, with alleged biblical evidence pointing to the date for the rapture as May 21st, 2011.
Still a little shady on the details there about that.
Yeah. He also says that this calendar details the end of the church age, which asserts that churches are no longer the vehicle used by God for salvation, and of predestination, according to which God determined before the beginning of the world which individuals are to be saved. Camping does not consider Family Radio a church, and does not claim ordained or hierarchical authority within a church or constitution. Camping claims that the church institutions do not employ the Bible alone as the sole authority. According to Camping, each church/denomination has their own unique set of doctrines and hermeneutics, which dictate how they understand the Bible, and this is what he believes makes Family Radio, a worldwide, non-profit, non-denominational, Christian-based ministry, so different. Recently, as what he believes to be biblical, the biblical date for Judgment Day, May 21st, 2011, draws near, Family Radio has become affiliated with eBibleFellowship.com, another website to avoid, and followers continue to listen to Camping despite the fact that he was wrong in his previous prediction of the end of the world. In his book, 1994, which has a question mark after it, he claimed there was a very high likelihood that the
world... doesn't have a question mark anymore. I mean, the question's been answered.
It sure has.
Makes you wonder if the first edition had a question mark. He probably put the question mark there in 1995.
Before you go on, what was the passage from Daniel that has this hidden...
Daniel 12:9 and Revelation 22:10. So hold on to that, and we'll read that in just a minute. It says, in this book he claimed there's a very high likelihood that the world would end in September 1994... although he did acknowledge in the book, quote, the possibility does exist that I could be wrong, end quote. He makes no mention of this failure when establishing his new claims of the end of the world in October 2011. Camping has received criticism from a number of leaders, scholars, and laymen within the Christian community for his predictions on when the rapture will take place. His critics argue that Jesus Christ himself taught that no man knows the day or the hour of the Lord's return. And so
I've heard even regular sort of orthodox, non-crazy predispensationalists say, even though the Bible says we don't know the hour or the day, we could know the year. I've actually heard people say that.
Okay.
Revelation 12:9. Daniel 12:9.
Right.
Actually, beginning in verse 8, Daniel asks, I'm assuming the Lord or perhaps an angel, I don't know the context. O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end.
Okay.
There you go. We actually have sound effects now.
Yeah, I can put that in there if if it would be better than, you know.
And what was the Revelation passage?
The Revelation passage was Revelation 22:10.
Take me a second here.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk quietly among ourselves. Ken, do you have anything to add besides silly noises?
No, I promise I won't do that again. I won't do that again. Twilight Zone. I mean, that's what it reminds me of. It's all that. It's just malarkey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, when you read a book.
Can you say that on the radio?
Malarkey, yeah.
Okay, just make it
Can
short.
A Christian use that word?
That's a topic for a different day.
Yes, it is. It says here in his bio that he earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Civil Engineering from the University of California, Berkeley. That explains a lot.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
Okay, this is Revelation 22:10, and he said to me, again, either an angel or the Lord speaking to John, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near.
Okay, and both of those passages are excellent proof texts for May 21st, 2011. Right?
Well, I think his point is that there's a book, a secret book somewhere that can tell us other things. And I guess does he have his hand on this book? It sounds a lot like Mormonism almost. Yeah, you have an extra text
or the Da Vinci Code or something.
Exactly. Exactly.
Again, just doctrinally, this just gets back to bigger issues of hermeneutics and the sufficiency of Scripture.
Exactly.
And if we think that there's other books, other texts that exist that will give us additional information, that's the way that madness and danger and heresy lies.
Yeah, wouldn't you say, Ken, that this is just a revival of the old Gnosticism that rears its ugly head from time to time?
Sure.
I mean, Harold Camping is a Gnostic.
He is. He is. Yeah, he's a modern-day Gnostic that... You know, it just he believes that, of course, you know, the, well, Gnosticism by definition is that everything material is evil and only that which is of the spirit is good.
Right.
And so, but he's just a wacko. That's all I can say.
Exactly. For those of you who might be listening and not be aware of what a Gnostic is, a Gnostic, in addition to believing that there should be a separation between the material and the spiritual, also believe that they have this inside knowledge of things that only initiates of their own kind could have. And Harold Camping seems to be.
Does he have a new book? Or where has he made this? I mean, has he just made this prediction online? Does he have an article about it? Or?
I read an article on MSNBC's website and on the front page of this web page. They had a picture of this girl who has transferred her entire automobile into a huge decal, and it's advertising this site, wecanknow.com, telling people to get ready for May 21st, 2011.
Well, two things, I think. First, if Mr. Camping ever hears this,
yeah, call us.
We invite him to come in to let us know what why he thinks what he does. But I think the bigger issue, I think the reason we're doing this is not just to talk about that, but how should a Christian respond to predictions?
Exactly.
How should a Christian respond to the fear of the end times? There's also, I mean, especially the last century as well, the 1900s and this century, the fear of, you know, I remember there are articles of that, who was the Italian dictator during World War II?
Which one, Mussolini?
Mussolini. Uh-huh. Mussolini's the Antichrist, mm-hmm. or Saddam Hussein is the Antichrist. And people get riled up and afraid of these men, who obviously had power and should be afraid of, but and trying to connect them to, you know, to Revelation or to
right.
Daniel or to Ezekiel,
right.
How should a Christian respond to predictions either of something to come or present similarities between men in the world and biblical types and symbols?
Exactly.
I think that's the big issue
we should be dealing with. The answer is, of course, go to the Word of God. You know, study it. Find out for yourself. And what Jesus said, it's not for us to know the times and the seasons. And so that's what we ought to accept.
What's that noise? Did a helicopter land on the roof, or somebody forget to turn off the water cooler?
Somebody forgot to turn off the water cooler.
Okay, there it went. Anyway.
I'm always leery of people who try to base their eschatology,
yes.
their doctrine of the end times,
right.
on current events. Obviously, there's going to be a time when the current Christ will come.
And right.
Whether
right.
it's today or in a millennia.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still leery of people who say the Lord is going to come soon, very quickly, and I'm convinced that he's going to come soon because of, and then they start pointing at current events. Because there are wars or there's earthquakes, we have such a bad memory. There have been brutal wars for the last 2,000 years. There have been horrendous earthquakes in the past 2,000 years and hurricanes, but sometimes we see only what's going on now. It's like the global warmers. They say, oh, this has been a horrible year for hurricanes because the earth is messed up.
Right.
But they don't look back 5, 10, 15 years ago and there were horrible earthquakes and hurricanes.
Right.
And so we have a very narrow view of history.
Right.
And people begin to look at the present and see bad things and think the end is near.
Well, and they do so fairly honestly. I mean, you know, they've been taught all their lives the passage in Matthew 24. Where Jesus told his disciples, from the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass until all these things take place. You know, passages like that were not intended to promote a looking under every rock to see if these things are coming to pass. Passages like that are to proclaim the imminent return of Christ. And in this particular instance, I believe the destruction of Jerusalem.
Yes, yes.
And,
clearly.
Yeah, it's clearly a prediction about what would be their fate at that particular time. You know, I was just thinking about Jeremiah, too. And in Jeremiah, we read a lot about prophets and prophecy. I mean, Jeremiah being, you know, the one of the foremost of the prophets, the major prophets. But in that, we see that there is a huge, huge penalty to be paid if you predict something in error. You recall what that is?
Stoning.
Yes. You'd be thrown off a cliff, and then what remained of you at the bottom would be...
Well, he's from Berkeley, so he might appreciate that. Oh, never mind.
Not that kind of stoning.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Bad joke.
Doesn't mean you... When the Bible says you get stoned, it has no connotation to
drugs. So our Berkeley friends, it doesn't... It means rocks on your head.
It means rocks, okay. Heavy, big rocks, gotcha, on your head. So really, when Harold Camping made this prediction back in 1994... And was wrong, he should have been stoned to death. And if not for the grace of God in the old economy, he would have been stoned. In the new economy, he would have been stoned to death in the old
economy.
We're
not advocating stoning of anybody, in case somebody hears that.
But there is a spiritual equivalent to be paid for that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he's not to be believed.
Yes.
He was, no pun intended, but dead wrong.
Ooh. That stopped me dead in my tracks.
I say it with my congested voice, but I hope you understand.
I think, though, that if you are in a church that is constantly looking at current events to interpret Scripture,
right?
I think that is a very serious matter. Current events are current. I mean, I don't want to be too obvious, but we don't know. I mean,
pardon me. I need to give this announcement. From the Department of Redundancy Department.
They're current, and very quickly they're going to be in the past. And people have based a lot of eschatological errors on current events, and those things are long gone and forgotten.
Well, let's talk about this for a minute. What type of emphasis, what degree of emphasis, should be placed on eschatology in the church?
I think eschatology is a valid study. I think the book of the Revelation is a valid study.
Yep.
And maybe we'll do it one day.
But to what extent do you emphasize eschatology over living in the here and now?
Well, one of the problems with emphasizing it too much is, with the exception of certain key things, such as the return of Christ.
Yes, right.
There are very few things that we can be totally certain about. Now, even among us three, we have some differences about some, perhaps things that could happen.
Right.
And we might have some biblical proof, such as the conversion of the Jews, maybe some sort of revelation of an Antichrist figure. But even then, we always have to say, I think.
Yeah.
It's hard to be absolutely certain. And I don't like preaching things that I can't say I believe. Like,
right.
I believe if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. I'm not wishy-washy about that.
Right.
I believe in the eternal election of God. I'm not wishy-washy about that. But when it comes to the conversion of the Jews and other potential future events, I'm a little uncertain. With the exception of the return of Christ, that's about the only thing I am absolutely convinced. And, of course, you know, the judgment and so on.
Yeah, I think there's been a sad phenomenon taking place in the church at large over the last, I would say, 50 years. And that is that preaching has gone more to the side of conjecture and opinion than to the side of dogma. And I'm like you. I like to preach from a dogmatic position.
Right.
I like to preach knowing with certainty what I'm delivering to my congregation so that they too can go out and spread truth as dogma. There's room for speculation and for conjecture and for opinion, and you'll certainly find that in all three of our messages from time to time, but it's clearly stated as such. Mm-hmm. Especially eschatology, I'm not too dogmatic about anything in the eschatological realm.
And I'm not that old, but the older I've gotten, the less dogmatic I have become.
Exactly.
I remember at a time when I was an absolutely maniacal amillennialist.
Yes.
And I would argue, if anybody mentioned rapture or conversion of the Jews or literal millennial kingdom, etc., I would start arguing. I'm still, for the most part, in that camp, but not nearly as convinced. And I have become a "it's not for you to know" kind of a guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll know it when it happens. That's what eschatology is, speculative until it occurs.
Exactly.
So we have to wait.
But even if something were to occur, can we be absolutely convinced? Can we say, "Oh, this is what was predicted in"?
Sometimes.
But most,
not generally, no.
Yeah, because even then we could say, well, this is just... Like, let's say there were some sort of an awakening in Israel. There's a couple cities. Just, could we say, oh, that's what was predicted? Or was that just a revival caused by God at that time? Or can we say that's fulfillment of Romans 11? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, when Israel was made a state again by a declaration of the UN Security Council in May 14th of 1948.
Somewhere in the late 40s, yeah.
People looked at that as a messianic prophecy being fulfilled, and they were ready to proclaim the arrival of Christ. Well, you know, that's been 63 years since that happened, and Israel has not known a moment of peace since then. So was that
70.
The... Yeah. 70. Okay. Yeah, 73 years. No, 63. It's 48 and 63 is...
It's 2011.
I know, but what's 1948 plus
63? 63.
48,
60, I don't know.
2011.
My bad. Thank My you. Math was wrong. I apologize.
Hey, that's why you're an English teacher and not a math teacher. But no, but the point I'm trying to make is, you know... That cannot be, in hindsight, in retrospect, you can't point back to that and say, yep, that was the biblical fulfillment of Christ coming back to establish his reign and so on and so forth. A lot of people thought that was mm-hmm. what happened.
Well, it's because they were basing a lot of their eschatology or their hermeneutics on current events.
Exactly.
And
speaking of current events, I had a Bible college professor who always used to say, we like to talk about the sweet by and by. But we live in the nasty now and now.
That's true.
And, you know, that's what current events are. I mean, let's be realists. We live in a day where, you know, you don't have to look very hard to find sinful people, sinful politicians, sinful even current events that perhaps can be attributed to the judgment of God.
Right, right.
So we live here.
The worst people to ask to evaluate current events are those who are living in those events. Things become much clearer with historical perspective.
Oh, yeah.
It's like there's a saying, some philosophical saying, the worst thing to ask what it feels like to be wet is a fish.
Yeah.
Because they don't know anything else but that.
Right.
We're the worst people to ask about current events, far as especially global implications of what it means.
Right.
100 years from now, the things that we're paranoid and worried about might seem laughable.
Right.
Or might seem, wow, they were right to be. And I'm sure there's things that we should be worried about now.
Right.
And I'm not talking about prophecy, just in general.
Right.
That we're not worried about, that people 100, 150 years from now, assuming that that happens.
Right.
I'm assuming Camping's incorrect. Then I'm like, how come they did not see that?
Right.
We look back at the 1800s, and we can see it much more clearly than they ever could.
Right.
So current events are often just hard to understand anyways.
That's true.
So preach the word, not current events.
Exactly. And your faithfulness to the word will grow your flocks and will edify your neighbors and will glorify God all at the same time.
And what it all comes down to eventually is if Christ comes today or tomorrow or May 21st, 2011,
right.
The big question isn't when, but will you be prepared? That's the absolute essential.
Yeah, I was fixing to say we've been at this for like 30 minutes and I want to keep the broadcast, you know, within that range.
Right.
But that's a great way of putting a nice bow on this whole conversation, and that is to say that the bottom line is whether Harold Camping is right or not, and he has no way of knowing any more than you or I do. So, you know, he is, in my opinion, in my informed opinion, a crackpot and a heretic.
Don't listen to him.
Don't listen to him, anything that he has to say. He's leading people astray. But along the same lines, you know, don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, it's like the admonition in James. Mm-hmm. Do not say that tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and do thus and such. But say, if the Lord wills. Right. If you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to understand that you don't have until May 21st to get saved. Today is the day of salvation.
Yes, amen.
And, again, whether he's right or not, to the believer, I say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I say, come before May 21st.
And
come today.
And to the Christian, until he comes again, work till the night is coming.
Exactly.
You can't, whether he's going to come in a week or outside of our lifetimes, it's still our responsibility to live like Christians and to work as if he were coming today.
Exactly. It's like that old pastor once told me. He said, we need to live our lives as though Christ died yesterday, rose today, and is coming again tomorrow.
That's right.
And Jesus himself said, work for the night is coming.
Yes.
We know the night is coming.
It's coming.
When no man can work. It'll be
over. Exactly.
So in the meantime, work.
Exactly. Well, good. This has been fun.
That's good.
We're going to do more of this type of stuff, you know, on different topics. I think relevant topics. I think this is very relevant because it was in the news on MSNBC. course, I don't really use MSNBC and Relevant in the same sentence. That's an inside joke. But we're going to do more of this, so stay tuned and listen to Truth Matters, and hopefully we'll have something to say that is...
You want to tell people who we are? I mean, if somebody just stumbled across
this... Who are
this
we? Book? Oh, yeah. We are Truth Matters, the radio broadcast. Used to be a radio broadcast.
Yes.
Now it's a podcast from Grace Baptist Church.
Do you know what we have never told people?
What?
I don't think. I don't know if we should or why we're not on the radio anymore.
Oh.
Just in case somebody's listening to this and they wonder why. I mean, or did we ever mention that? Or
I don't know if we did, but we probably need to mention that again. I mean, we used to be on the radio, and it was costing
us... We weren't kicked off or anything.
No, no. This was a decision that we made because we figured that the funds, the rather exorbitant funds that we were spending every month for radio broadcasts, could better be used supporting a missionary in China.
Yes.
And that's the long and short of it.
Yep.
And
we will not name him.
We will not name him. His name, his initials are JC. I mean, but that's about as far as I'll go with that. But really, you know, for prayer purposes, keep this young man and his family in your prayers, and we feel confident that we did the right thing. We feel confident that the Lord will much greater blessing will come from the Lord as a result of doing this than continuing for our own vanity at times on the radio. So. Anyway, we are Free Grace Baptist Church, 1801 Thorain Boulevard.
We are members of Free Grace Baptist Church.
Well, the radio program.
We are.
Yeah. Whatever. But we are at 1801 Thorain Boulevard in San Antonio, Texas. I'm going to get this out.
Well,
you know,
without I'm not worried about time
right
now, so I can just keep interrupting.
Yeah, so if you want to visit us on the website, on our website, Free Grace Baptist Church's website, you can go to www.freegracebaptist.org.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go to Sermon Audio, where many more broadcasts have been placed.
All the old radio
The old radio days have been placed there on Sermon Audio.
Still called Truth Matters.
Yeah, you can go to sermonaudio.com/Free Grace Baptist. And find all of this there. You can also find it on our website because we're kind of linked in to Sermon Audio on the website. Aside from that, I would encourage you to listen and listen often. Visit us on Facebook. You can go to Facebook and type in Truth Matters and voila, there we are. Be our friend.
We have an internet presence.
Yes. Click the like button and become our friend. And who knows, maybe you'll get some prize at some point in the future for being our friend. Never
Harold, and Harold Camping?
Boo Harold Camping.
Call us if you'd like.
They can't see you doing this thing with your hands.
Our numbers are on the website. You can call us as well.
All right, we're begging now. Let's just cut this off now.
If you're Harold Camping, please feel free to call as well.
But before May 21st.
But before May 21st,
Do it quickly.
I think your cell phone contract ends abruptly that day. So, anyway, it's been fun, guys.
Yes.
Talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Internet. Ha ha.